I literally have told no one.
Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, we had to start over because I brought up something I shouldn't have, and I teased you. And
listen, you let me share. I'm going to share in the way I want to share. Leanne's well, Matt, was something about something medical I'm going through that I find a little embarrassing. And Mallory knows, and Leanne knows, and that's about it. And I just don't want to talk about it here, but Leanne thinks it's hilarious to just expose me to the world.
There's something about when I do well, Matt, and I take you by surprise, that honestly, my life needs it. You said when we started, we said, no, I don't want to do this.
I don't want to talk about it on.
But here. You're okay. Nobody needs I'm to fine. Worry. Nobody needs to worry.
No, I'm okay. I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. You just want to say it so bad.
No, I'm not gonna. What was your good day?
Well, here's my good day. My good day was a baseball game. This was such a fun moment because it was a baseball game that our friend Destry from Colorado was in town. And she, Destry's a counselor, and she was in town for like a retreat, a marriage retreat that she's teaching at.
Counselors, we really do connect.
We leaned in hard. We leaned in hard to the counselors.
We did.
I don't know what it is. And then you came. Daryl was out of town that night, and you're like, I'll stop by the baseball game.
Yeah, it was so fun.
And it was so fun. And listen, I'm really, like you, here's what I should ask you. You have known me for a very long time, and this was our first game together as a baseball dad.
Yes,
what were your observations?
Well, my observations are you take the snack bag very seriously.
Oh, totally.
What was that bag? What is that bag?
It's like a croc bag
or something.
Yeah, it's a bog bag knockoff from Amazon.
Okay.
We love it. It's a big plastic bag.
Filled with everything.
Yeah, it had snacks.
And I will say that you are going strong with the sunflower seeds.
Oh, praise.
Sunflower seeds.
Smacking.
Smacking seeds.
If you're listening.
You have a number one fan. Listen, I do believe that you had a smorgasbord of flavors.
I rotate them. I rotate the flavor so my mouth doesn't get bored. No one wants a boring mouth.
And I do notice that you do the extraction of the shells very politely.
Oh,
you don't
thank
do
you.
This like spitting like the
No, like, I have a whole method.
Yeah, I saw.
I let it I suck the stuff. The shells get a little moist.
This has nothing to do with this medical problem.
Then I break the shell in half, and I actually fold one shell in itself like it's spooning. Okay. And then I go, go, boop.
It was very,
there's not a lot of spit involved, actually.
Yeah, it's very, very, it doesn't feel offensive at
and
all.
And, I didn't get the fascination with sunflower seeds until I became a baseball dad.
Yeah.
And it's just like it takes the edge off.
I will say also that I do notice in this environment, you have a lot of people that
I know what you're going to say
that work with you, and that there are a lot of parents, there are a lot of students. So you have a little a little bit of a teacher administrative persona.
Sure.
It's not podcast Matt at baseball games.
Well, we're there to watch Luca.
Right.
We're also,
And Fitz when he plays.
But also, I don't want to be in charge of kids.
Right.
I want
to
watch my kids.
Yeah.
And so, it's funny
because I don't know why kids at baseball games try to misbehave in any way whatsoever, because the amount of teachers and the amount of parents are there.
You're right.
What you doing? What you doing, kids?
There were kids throwing rocks, there were teachers getting after them. It was a whole thing.
It was great.
But yeah, baseball,
great.
Here's what I'll say.
You've embraced it.
I am a good time. Yeah. If you want to come, I'll share my blow pops. I'll share my seeds. I'll share all my snacks with you if you want to come and sit with
you
me.
You had sandwiches in that bag.
We had sandwiches.
I kind of regret not taking one now because you said you offered and I was like, no, but I should have because they look real good.
Well, that was a good day. It was fun having you guys there and it's just, it's a good time.
Yeah, it was good. Not long ago, I had Breakfast Club and it was my good day because they came to my house and I said something about Breakfast Club and Daryl said, it's not really Breakfast Club. It's Breakfast Club that turns into Lunch Club.
Right.
And you know, usually they come between 10 and 10:30 and usually we do not disband until probably 3:30 or 4. It's just such
a
great day. And we make time
for
it. You know, we're just talking, man. Like, we're unpacking it all.
Literally just talking.
But we text a little bit in between every 8 weeks or so. But other than that, we just catch up.
Okay.
Like there's catch up happening with the kids and the jobs and the and our partners and our homes and what's going on in our homes. And it's just, and it also is, it's just a good day.
You know, you said to me when we talked about Breakfast Club, you told me you leave there feeling full and alive and excited.
Like jazzed up.
Yeah. And those are the people we need to be around.
Yeah.
Like, just jazzed come on.
Up. I feel like because we all have very different personalities and one of us is a clinical counselor.
Again.
I feel like we kind of wrap it up with, and this is funny, and they're not going to mind I say this, but Missy said to Wilma, Wilma's the counselor, she said, I feel like at the end of every Breakfast Club, Wilma just kind of tells us what to do.
I love
that. Or tells us what we should do. Yeah. And it really does feel like Wilma just gives us like these, like her parting shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like, this is what I think this is, and this is what I think you should do. And it feels very like, like we can do it.
Like take on the world.
Yeah. And so this last Breakfast Club, we decided that after every update, so everybody kind of goes around and we, and here's the thing I like about this kind, you know, a lot of people don't like the whole like go around and share, but here's why I like it. If you allow separate conversations to be happening when you're in a group of people, you're going to repeat the same story three times.
Sure.
And then if you're with four people, there might be a fourth person that doesn't get to hear your update.
Right.
So I would rather one person share at a time the complete update.
Right.
So we decided this last time that at the end of every update from now on, that there's some sort of salute. You have to raise your glass and you have to say something. Mm. So mine was All Hail Breakfast Club. That was my salute.
All Hail?
All Hail.
Oh, wow.
All Hail Breakfast Club. Yeah. Just felt very victorious.
It's regal, yeah.
Yeah. So I do. I always feel like just very edified, very like myself, very like I could say anything and they'd all be like, okay, let's unpack that. Let's talk about that. And it was just, it was a good day.
That's awesome.
It was a good
I love
day.
That.
And it leads into what we're talking about today.
Yeah, tell me.
We are talking about today summer foods or just favorite recipes right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Now this first one that I made for Breakfast Club does not have to be a summer food. It could easily be winter if you want to make it winter. But I went and made butter with Daryl's Amish cousins who milk for Organic Valley. Organic Valley, if you're listening.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
Organic
Valley. So they milk for Organic Valley. I don't know the science of why sometimes during the year cows have more milk than they don't other times of the year, but their cows right now have too much milk. So they are taking the extra milk and separating it and making butter for themselves. Well, Anne had me order a culture so that we could make cultured butter the next week because I went 2 weeks in a row. So the next
Where do you order a culture?
So you order it from a place called getculture.com. Getculture.com. You order this culture and you sprinkle it. She sprinkles it in the cream and it cultures it. It's like, I don't know the science of it, but it does something to it that you can like, so you have this culture cream. So now you can make sour cream. Now from the butter, you can make sour cream. You can also make buttermilk. So like real thick, beautiful buttermilk. So we made this butter. I had this beautiful, pint of, it might have even been a quart of buttermilk. And I made, and they will be in the show notes, this recipe. I made the most delicious buttermilk waffles.
Oh,
with that real so buttermilk. And then I had the real butter. And so the next morning, Wilma texts everyone and said, I don't know about anybody else, but I want another one of those waffles so bad. And Rhonda said, I'll take a waffle, but I really want some more of that butter. Because the butter was, it's just,
you know,
real and salted and so good. Yeah.
I'm struggling with this because I've seen pictures of this butter. You've talked to me about the butter, but I have yet to taste the butter.
Well, you're going to taste the butter. You're going to taste the butter. You're going to taste the butter soon.
Okay.
Because I have butter separated out into small little sticks wrapped in the freezer. So I will give you one when you come. I think I ate a piece of I've eaten a piece of toast every day since I had that butter.
Okay. Here's what I need to, I have some follow-up questions. What are we eating for toppings on waffles?
Okay.
Because here's what I have to say about my family. In my home, I'm the only person that has syrup on my waffles. My family will have chocolate chips or they'll have whipped cream, but I'm like tradish. Give me some syrup and butter.
Well, you know, locally, we have some nice grocery stores, and I went to a grocery store and just got some beautiful fruit that was actually on sale. I got strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, and red raspberries. I cut them up about a half an hour before the gals got there, and I sprinkled just a little bit. I mean, not even a tablespoon, but a little bit of brown sugar on them. You know, I cut everything up and put it all in one bowl. Then I did the waffles. Then I scooped out some fruit on top. Well, first of all, before I put the waffles down, because there are two waffles on every plate, before I put the waffles down, I put a little bit of I heated my maple syrup. Mm-hmm. I put a little drizzle of maple syrup on the plate. Then I put the waffles. Then I put the fruit. Then I drizzled maple syrup.
Yeah.
And then I did real whipped cream.
Okay.
Like the real heavy whipping cream.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit of just white sugar. Whip that up, put that on top, and with bacon, with pepper bacon. And it was so good. It was truly, there's something really special about that real buttermilk.
Yeah,
it was
good.
So good.
Okay, when I think of summer, I'm thinking fresh.
Okay.
Because there's so much fresh food available. And I have two things I want to talk about. The first one is, there is this Greek, this is one of your recipes. It's from your website, and I'm going to link it. But it's a Greek layered dip that has all these different ingredients in it. And I love, there's something about Greek flavors in the summer to me that has lemon fresh. And oregano. Oh, it's so good. Also, another recipe that I love is a Greek marinade for chicken. So this could make, honestly, can make a whole meal.
Okay, tell me about the Greek marinade for chicken.
The Greek marinade, I could pull it up. Often Greek marinades.
Well, olive oil, obviously.
Olive oil, and it has lemon juice in it. Oh.
Okay, while you're looking it up, I'm going to tell you another recipe on my website, because you mentioned my website, is that whipped feta. Do you remember that whipped feta?
I love whipped feta.
I mean, you ate so much of that. I sent some of it home with you. You ate so much of that whipped feta. It was so good.
That's so good. Okay, here's the important parts about a Greek marinade.
Okay.
Is it has olive oil, lemon, honey in it, oregano. This one has paprika, which I love paprika, and garlic. And
you just
summer,
soak the chicken in it?
Yeah. Okay. And when I think of summer, I'm thinking of marinades.
And
I'm
grilling.
Thinking
grill.
Marinades and grill. Get you, like, if you want to use Ziploc bags, marinate in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
If you like Tupperware, marinate in a Tupperware. But this is the time to marinate. And listen, I am a let it go long, then it will taste strong. Oh, I just made that up. let it go long, it'll taste strong. Because just let it soak. Let it soak and let all those juices get in there, and the flavor gets captured in there. And listen, I am a big proponent of, like...
Is your mouth watering?
My mouth is watering. A big proponent of, like, don't grill the heck out of your food.
Oh, no.
Like, get a thermometer if you need to.
Right.
Because you want it just to hit that temperature.
You can get a probing thermometer on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You could probably link one of those, Matt.
Probably.
A digital thermometer I use for my bread.
Mm-hmm.
We often use for if we're doing pork, like a pork roast. Yeah. You know, they really do come in handy.
Do you like the kind with the long metal string?
Yes, too.
Because you can put the thermometer outside of your oven or outside of your grill, and you put it in one of the pieces of meat, and it'll beep.
Or in the bread.
Or the bread.
You know, you want your bread to be around 190, 195, 200, and then it's ready to come out.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to do time. You can really just do temperature.
Right.
So I'm with you. I don't grill your chicken to death. Listen, the reason so many people aren't liking chicken is because they're grilling the heck out of it and it's dry.
Yeah. Well, nobody wants a dry breast.
No, nobody does. Nobody wants dry chicken, period.
No, that's right.
Okay, another recipe I just did recently. I found it online. I know we'll have it in the show notes. I did it when my Hilton Head friends came, and two of them have already did it at home, made the recipe at home because they loved it so much. It was a hummus recipe.
Mm.
I ordered my tahini.
Mm.
You
need tahini.
I ordered the tahini at Amazon.com.
I know.
Jeff Bezos. He just helped me out. Because we don't have really tahini in Amish country.
Sure.
And it came the next day, and you cannot do, in my opinion, you cannot do a hummus the way hummus should be done without tahini.
I agree.
So, and then this hummus recipe called for half a cup of fresh squeezed lemon.
Ooh, that's good.
Half a cup. It was so
good.
Literally, it was gone. It was gone. And it made, I was worried that, just a side note, if you look at this recipe in the show notes and you follow the link, you could look at that recipe and go, is that enough? But there were seven of us, and it was with a meal, okay? So I served a meal with it. But there were seven of us, and there still was a little bit left at the end of the evening. It makes a much bigger batch than you think, because you're going to boil. This is so odd, but you get canned chickpeas. You rinse and drain them, and you boil those chickpeas for 20 minutes. And the reason you do that is because often canned chickpeas are underdone. They're a little bit underdone.
I didn't know that.
So you boil those for 20 minutes so they get nice and soft, and then you add them to your tahini and lemon juice and all of that. But the instructions are very detailed. I did everything the directions said. I would not do it. And I added a tiny bit more of the Malden salt than the recipe asked for. But other than that, I did everything that recipe said, and it was so refreshing. It was so good because we dipped peppers, carrots, and cucumbers in it. And I like those little English cucumbers there. Mm-hmm. They have now grocery store, the shorties.
I do too.
And it was like an introduction to summer side dish or appetizer. Sure. It was so good.
Here's one of our hacks for this is in the summer, we usually keep hummus in the fridge and a sealed bowl, and we also keep like a dip. Mallory will usually make a dip that has like yogurt based with like ranch or dill, mm-hmm. like a vegetable mm-hmm. dip, but mm-hmm. made with yogurt. But here's my tip for this. Mallory started doing this maybe 4 years ago when our kids were little. Is we have a Tupperware separated tray that she will often on Sundays cut a bunch of vegetables up, put them in. And then when like, let's say the kids run in, we can make a sandwich and we just set out the tray with the dips.
So good. That's true.
And it's perfect to have because, listen, you had kids at home at one point.
They just eat.
Kids always be running
they
in.
They just eat and
demanding.
They eat. They just never stop eating.
I know. They're demanding.
They're always hungry.
You know, no one told me that the greatest burden on a parent is the feeding. It's the feeding the children. They just keep wanting more.
They do. And when you have especially boys. Now, I've never had a girl, so I don't know. It could be the same for girls. But boys, they get to a certain age and I'm like, "How? Where is this all going?"
Yeah.
Like just such an appetite.
But that is truly one of our tips is cutting up vegetables and keeping them fresh.
That's really good.
Because here's the thing. There were years where we didn't do it, and often they don't get eaten. You have good intentions. When you buy carrots, you have great intentions.
It's so true.
But get them out. Get them washed. Get them cut. Because then they'll eat them.
Yeah, it's true.
That's my tip.
It's true. And also, it's just a healthier choice instead of like grabbing a Nutty Buddy.
Sure.
Although I do like a good Nutty Buddy.
Well, Little Debbie, if you are listening,
like, I mean,
come on.
Listen, every now and then I get a hankering for a zebra cake.
Oh, cosmic brownies. Yes. Yes and amen.
Swiss rolls? Mm. Come on.
Praise.
Do you, when you eat a Swiss roll, do you unroll it? Yeah, me too.
I get like in it.
Like, it's like, who are these criminals just biting it and not unrolling?
I don't know, but they're not friends with us. Here's the thing. I treat my Swiss cake roll like it's the frog in seventh grade dissection class.
I do too.
I want to pull apart the layers. Yes. I want to take the thing.
Yes, and then when you get that inside layer with the little bit more cream and the inside.
I wish we had video. Someday. So someday we'll get there. Okay, here's my other thing. Something else we keep in the fridge. Something else we keep in the fridge. I've probably said this three times at least on our podcast. It is the Pioneer Woman restaurant style salsa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's
what
I
need to say. It really is the best.
It is the best.
You
got to
put that one in your show notes. I will. Did you write it down? Because that is the best recipe.
Here's the good thing about this, but that's kind of conflicting. It actually isn't. The only fresh ingredient in it is cilantro. So if you can get cilantro year round, which our grocery stores do carry it year round.
Right.
But the rest is all like Rotel. Canned whole tomatoes.
But isn't there jalapeno pepper?
Mm-mm. Well, I take that out.
But you take it out. I did not take it out. I did it.
Was it hot for you?
No. It was so good.
So here's what I love about this recipe. This recipe, I literally one day we came home from a Mexican restaurant maybe 5 years ago. And I went, I love the salsa that they have there. And I literally Googled restaurant style salsa. And the recipe from the Food Network from the Pioneer Woman.
Reed Drummond, if you are listening.
Listen, she's friends with you on Instagram.
I messaged her. We have DM back and forth.
Listen, Ree.
Come on, Ree.
Hey.
Where are you?
Everybody get real quiet with us. Ree. Hey,
Ree.
We love you.
Yeah. Why don't you be a guest? Yeah, be a guest, Ree.
Pull up, Ree.
Yeah, come on,
Pull Ree. Up, come on.
Anybody connected with Ree Drummond, hook us up, will you?
So here's what I'll say. I love that recipe because it is all done in the blender. It's cumin.
Yes.
It's salt. It's garlic.
It's so good.
It's cilantro. And what I love about these types of recipes are there is measuring involved, but there's not.
Listen.
I've been known to just put the whole head of cilantro in. Put it all in.
Listen, also, one of my favorite stories about this is you gave me some of it and your sweet little daughter piped up and said, you didn't give it all to her, did you?
Yeah. My kids love this. And this salsa is one of those things where I can make a big batch and we just put it in the fridge and pull it out
it's
because
good.
It's such a good snack. Yeah. So fresh salsa, look in the show notes.
Okay. Lately or recently, I made the Walnut Creek ballpark snack stand Coney sauce.
Yeah, Linda Beachy, if you are listening.
Oh, Linda Beachy, we love you. That Coney sauce, it was so delicious.
Where did the recipe actually come from?
I don't know.
Was it passed around the moms?
Yeah, it was a baseball mom. And at our ball diamond in Walnut Creek, we have a little elementary school called Walnut Creek Elementary. It's where our boys went. And there's the snack stand. The snack stand is a permanent fixture. It doesn't move.
It's like a shed, but nicer.
Yes. And you take turns as moms working the snack stand when your boys play ball. And you have to make a certain amount of batches of Coney sauce. I can't remember the amount of batches now, but you have to make a certain amount of them. And there's a freezer in the snack stand. And you put that Coney sauce on a hot dog or something they called
Sloppy nachos.
Oh,
yes.
And it was nacho chips with the Coney sauce with a little bit of that liquid cheese, that liquid gold.
Make my nachos sloppy.
And it is such a good recipe.
It's so good.
Yeah, I made that recently. Daryl and I.
Here's the thing. Here's my only complaint. Do you have a pared down version of that recipe?
Well, you can just have it.
I've made it. And it makes a lot.
Well, what I did this time is I made a whole batch and I shared it and then I put some in the freezer.
Yeah.
If you don't want that much and you don't want to put it in the freezer and you don't want to share it, it's like it's 4 pounds of burger. You just do 2 pounds of burger.
That's still a lot.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, it is a lot, but if you have hot dogs one night and there's three or four of you,
yeah,
you'll have a little bit left that you can do.
Yeah.
You can dip in you can dip chips in it, yeah, or you can make sloppy literally a sloppy Joe even.
Yeah. I love that recipe.
Yes.
Shout out to baseball moms.
Yes.
Okay, here's my last one. Well, I have a couple things to say too. In the summer, here's some important things I want us to remember.
Okay.
Use your herbs. If you're an herb gardening person, use them because there's so many good recipes out there. Honestly, if you have an abundance of something, usually mint goes crazy. Mint.
Parsley.
Yes. If you have an abundance of something, Google like potatoes, parsley recipe. Or, you know, mint tea recipe.
Yes.
Just Google is your friend. Find ways to use all those fresh things. Here's the other thing in the summer that we love. This is not a recipe. It's just a tip. Sometimes it's okay to just eat charcuterie.
Yes.
You know, I think that sometimes we put pressure on making meals and making big things. But sometimes just making a nice little charcuterie for the dinner is a great thing.
Here's something I want to say. And here in Worcester, in our little hometown, we have a couple grocery stores that have the baguettes, the French baguettes. Buy a baguette, cut it up, get some nice cheese, slice some apples. And right now here in May, beginning of June, the citrus is so beautiful.
It's true.
And I served some of that at Breakfast Club, some sliced oranges, and they were gone.
Yeah.
And the gals were like, those oranges are so good.
I know.
You don't have to buy 10. You can buy 2.
Right.
And just slice them and have a nice board with fruit and cheese and a baguette. Yes.
Yeah. Eat charcuterie. Give yourself permission.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Here's my last recipe. My last recipe is a recipe that we love. You've made it the entirety of our friendship. It is called Fiesta Corn Dip.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite recipes.
Yeah, it's so good.
I actually found you posting this. You were cooking this on TV in 2019 in Columbus.
In Columbus.
And I'm going to link to that.
With Cameron Fontana.
That's right. I'm going to link to that recipe.
It is so good.
One of my favorite. It's like corn, mayonnaise, cilantro.
You have to do the Mexicorn.
Okay.
You need the can of Mexicorn. Do not just get regular corn. Get Mexicorn. You just go to the grocery store.
Are you yelling at me? Like, what? You're pointing at me.
Go to the grocery store. Look in the corn section and get Mexicorn.
Oh, Mexicorn. That's where it's at.
Yes.
So Fiesta Corn Dip. Listen, if there's two things I could say, Fiesta Corn Dip and that salsa, keep them in your fridge all summer.
It's true.
You will have a memorable, you'll literally like make a Shutterfly page about those two dips.
And also on my Instagram, one of the first posts on my feed is the Texas caviar.
Yes.
I also love
that. That's a good one too.
I feel like I can just eat.
You also have a really good recipe on your website for black bean salsa.
Yes.
You have
very good dip.
Okay, all right, you have one last one, don't you?
Here's my last one, and I have done this recipe 3 times in the last 6 weeks. No lie. It is Grossy Pelosi, Dan Pelosi's carrot cake recipe. I make it 3-layer. On his recipe, he says you can do it in a 13x9 or 2 9-inch. I do 3 8-inch layers.
Okay.
And the frosting is a cream cheese frosting. And here's what I'm going to say about the salted and unsalted butter topic.
Oh,
I have always...
Huge debate.
This is such a polarizing topic, Leanne. I've always felt like, what's the big deal?
Fair.
Just use the salted butter. Who cares? What I'm going to tell you is in this frosting, it calls for 2 sticks of unsalted butter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that the frosting has more of a tartness.
I agree.
And it's less sweet.
Yep.
And so this cake has 2 jars of carrot baby food.
I'm sold. Because you know what that tells me? Moist.
Moist.
Moist, moist with a capital OI.
And listen, Daryl and I had that cake. One time we had it, like the 5th day, it was still absolutely delicious.
Well, you know what's interesting about this recipe is there was one day where you were like, Matt, there's 1 piece left. I'm saving it for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Leanne, maybe I'll try to come and get it. And like 3 o'clock, you were like, well, you didn't get it and it's gone. So
no, it wasn't 3 o'clock. It was more like in the evening. I was hoping you would swing by after work.
Baseball. Leanne, and I was like, I'm smacking seeds.
Nope, can't.
Well, you didn't save it for me.
I didn't.
So I'm a little disappointed.
I'm going to tell you, the walnuts, there is nothing in this recipe I would necessarily skip. Somebody messaged me because I shared it on Instagram, and somebody messaged me and said, I don't really like coconut. Is the coconut necessary? And I said, well, if you don't like coconut, don't put it in there, right?
Yeah, Betty.
But make up for it with something else. Like put some extra walnuts in. The walnuts in that cake. Oh, it's so good. That cake recipe is just, it is a winner chicken dinner.
Love it. Hey, here's the thing. This summer, you're going to be eating. No matter where you are, you're going to be eating something somewhere.
Yeah.
And so make it fresh.
Yeah.
Give yourself permission to like have that charcuterie board and break out that grill. Because if you live in Ohio like we do, that it's grill time. Goes away it's in the time. Winter.
Yes, it does.
I mean, my dad grilled all winter, but he was crazy about grilling. So here's the thing. Make good food because the people around your table will love you and will thank you for it.
Right.
Because it is so good to serve good food.
Yes. Well, Matt, there's just one thing left. Let's talk about food. Okay. We talked about food really the whole podcast. We
literally.
But what I will say is the other day I went down to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and I got my groceries and I thought to myself, wow, I thought it was going to be a whole lot more than that. And that is the difference I'm going to tell you in Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek's foods products compared to going to just your everyday grocery store is their prices are incredible.
That's awesome. They do. Their prices are so competitive and often lower than the stores around us.
Yep.
What I love, one thing I was going to point out too in some of our recipes, mayonnaise is an ingredient in our dips. Mm-hmm. And Walnut Creek Cheese and Market makes their own mayonnaise. Mm-hmm, and I love their mayonnaise.
Yeah, their mayonnaise is great. And if you do charcuterie, they just have so many great selections of cheese.
Listen,
something I love that they do, and maybe I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I just think it's so cool. If you get their pre-sliced cheese or their pre-sliced meat, there's an area you can just grab and go.
Yes.
They wrap it on a styrofoam plate, mm-hmm. but then when you open the package, they have folded a little deli bag underneath the sliced cheese or the sliced ham or turkey or whatever for you to be able to put that in the bag. I just think that is going the extra mile.
It's the intention.
It's why we love them so.
Totally.
Yep.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us in this conversation all about food. You know you're going to be eating, so you better make it good.
Make it good.
Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.